We've had some laughs, we've had some cries, we've had some ups, and we've had some downs. We've also had some guests. So, here at Region Nerd Alert, I finally deemed it enough to warrant a best of episode of most of our previous guests and took out some snippets of interesting. Join us this Saturday on the next Region Nerd Alert at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. But yeah, yep. I'm going to play a little bit of this music, and then when we come out of it, maybe Leo, if you can explain, I don't know, you don't want to give away too much, but maybe where this is setting up in the game. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, quite well.
Awesome, awesome. So I'm going to play a little bit right now. So that, oh my, I love that. Like, literally, that's what I listen to all the time.
That was funky.
Like, when I'm, like, editing at work, like, I just listen to video game soundtracks. And that is an amazing soundtrack. So, Leo, if you want to, if you want to tell us about who actually does your sound, or I guess the soundtrack for that.
Sure. So, it's Kunal. He's pretty much the main audio guy on our team. And we also have the guy that does Legend of Secrets of Mana on our team, helping out with some of the tracks,
nice.
Too. So.
What? Wait, for real? Oh, my God. That's, like, one of my favorite RPGs. They just remastered that for PS4. I was going to pick that up recently.
But, yeah.
Holy, that's amazing. I had no idea.
You know, I should know, like, his name, too, and everything, and I feel really bad I don't off the top of my head. But I'm not sure what he does on Secrets of Mana. You might do the whole soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure as far as that.
That is so cool. And speaking of soundtracks, some of my favorite soundtracks, and keeping it horror game as well, is Silent Hill. Like, I can play that. That's, like, the only horror game I can really play at, like, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. by myself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, I need someone there, or I need it to be daylight, or my mother to be there. But just in the relation of music, I'm going to play a little bit of Silent Hill ambience right now. And Leo, you're probably very familiar with this as well. Oh my gosh, that is so relaxing.
That really is.
And yeah.
Every time I tell everyone, like, that's from, like, a horror video game, and I show them the monsters from it, they're like, how does that work? Like,
I fall asleep to that, actually.
Mm-hmm. I do fall asleep to that, like, every night. If
monsters,
it's not
in the background.
Doesn't Majora's Mask have a lot of, like, creepy ambience music into it?
It has that Nintendo 64 sounds to it.
Yeah, it's like, initially, I don't think it's like a creepy game.
Mm-mm.
It's just,
oh, I wouldn't classify it as creepy.
It's there's a lot of the color scheme, I would say, is, like, a little bit different. Like, there's, I don't know, it's, like, darker colors.
Mm.
And it's,
yeah.
Well, I guess the Majora's Mask character himself is
Majora's is pretty
terrifying. And I almost forgot the moon.
The moon, yeah.
The moon. The happy mask guy.
The happy mask guy, yeah. Like,
you make him mad, and he's, like, all, like, staring down at you, like,
oh my God. Leo, have you played Majora's Mask?
Yeah, no, that's interesting that you bring up Zelda games just in general, because I do find that audio wise, there does have, like, an undertone, like, minor sort of like dark feel to some of the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like know, yeah, like a dark elf or something. Like, it's very mysterious. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I noticed that more in Twilight Princess than I did in Majora's Mask.
I think Twilight Princess is my second favorite Zelda game. I haven't played the new ones.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I have not played Breath of the Wild. I heard that was a good one. But Majora's Mask is my favorite. And also, speaking of Majora's Mask, like, spoiler alert, whoever hasn't beaten Majora's Mask. Actually, I don't have to spoil it.
It's been 10,000 years, okay?
I want to say, hasn't it been, like, almost, like, at least 20 years or
yeah,
so
roughly
since it
10,000 years, so.
Has it?
I'll fact check while you talk.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, the fact that, like, you're helping each, like, tribe in there. And I think there's, like, a death in each tribe, isn't there? Like, it's something related to death. Because you take the mask of, like, their souls and become the embodiment of them.
Quick. It came out April 27th, 2000. So it will be 20 years old next year.
Oh, wow. Wow. Good night.
April 27th. Hey, listener, you're listening on April 27th? But yeah, so if you had to describe cosplay, and this is open to everyone too, if you had to describe cosplay, like, to someone who has never heard the word, the only thing that they ever introduced to dress up is Halloween, barely that, how would you describe cosplay to them, and like the differences between just dressing up?
Well, in layman's terms, it is way more hyped up Halloween.
Hyped
like,
up Halloween.
You take that Halloween costume that you really liked, and you turn it up to like 200.
Okay, so
you ignore all the Party City stuff except for like maybe some like good fake gore makeup and like some things you can pick up, and you go 100%. I have some fabric from Joann's. I have this foam. I have this PVC pipe. Let's make some costumes.
Oh man,
learn as you go.
So how would you guys describe, like, if someone came up to you and said, "Hey, what is this cosplay I've been hearing about?"
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with, like, the labor of love. Like, you can make a Halloween costume in a day, and then, you know, that's fine. And you can grab a costume outside of, you know, in your closet. But it's another thing to buy the materials, to do the research, to put in the hours. And these are real hours that people are putting into.
Oh, yeah.
And just that payoff of being able to, like, see yourself represented as that character, it's something that is, like, indescribable. Like, I just get goosebumps thinking about it.
So that not only like effort, but time. Well, not only time, but effort. And I always see heads turn when I say money. A lot of money goes involved, especially the 501st. Yeah. That's like
there's no profit.
That's like
there's
people.
Anti-profit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, the 501st. The whole hobby itself is expensive. You know, and you know, when you buy parts, it's almost like you're hunting for things. You know, some people are crazier than others. They want the actual found part that is in the movie. You know, and they'll search for that, or they'll. I mean, with the technologies today, you can 3D print stuff. You can
3D printer here.
Yeah, right. So you can mold it. So you have so many tools in your toolbox to accomplish the look that you want. But I mean, some of these costumes that people put out are just amazing, and it's a skill set. It's an art, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah,
it really
totally.
Is. I mean,
yeah.
And these people are artists, and you know, like for me, for example, I bought my Stormtrooper as a kit. Okay, now I still have to build it, and I still have to put it together, and there's other things that go into it. But for the most part, you know, there's still a skill level that's involved, and I think the cosplay community is people that want to help each other out in that, even if you don't have those particular skills. 501st is a perfect example of that, because we do build parties where if you don't know what you're doing, well, we don't want you to screw up, because you just spent a lot of money on materials and stuff like that, and we want your dreams to come true, so we'll help you along.
I need to go to this build party just to watch.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So the
cosplay to learn.
Yeah. So I mean, I think, you know, with all the, even now, like, without build parties, I mean, YouTube is huge now too, with, you know, tutorials and things like that, using, you know, EVA foam. You got foamsmiths now, you know, who are just using these floor mat foams that have been, you know, maybe on the floor that you've been walking all over, you can build full sets of armor with, you know.
I was going to say, in Heather's recent cosplay, she used pool noodles.
Yeah, I used pool noodles. So for the lollipop and build, I used 3 pool noodles all glued and taped together so I can make a giant lollipop. Because to buy one, which is the same exact way, they're like $100 to $300.
To buy a giant lollipop?
Yeah, to buy a giant lollipop. Oh, I'm holy moly. So I just walked down to the pool store and bought pool noodles and PVC pipe and foam.
Wow. And that's another thing, too, because they're not just making, oh, like, that's a pool noodle put together. Like, your lollipop looked delicious. Like, the way you, like, wrote on it, the way you... painted it, the way you put the glitter, like, I wanted to take a big old lick out of it.
You shouldn't do that.
Because it's salty, not sweet.
It's actually, to get the crystallized effect, you use the salt bath stuff for muscles, and you mix that with glitter, and you mix that all together and glue it all down. So one, it's Elmer's glue, so it wouldn't be toxic, but it wouldn't taste good.
But it is edible.
No, it's not.
Or not. I meant to say not at once, so it is.
It's pool noodles.
Let's talk about, like, makeup and the price of it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh.
Do you want to talk about the price of it?
You could hear their walls screaming right now.
So when it comes to drag and the term, quote, doing drag, there's a lot of money in that sentence.
Yeah.
And a lot of people probably don't realize that, like, so much effort goes into the performance, in the character, in everything. Yeah. You want to explain how much you spent already?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I can't.
Well, no numbers.
I'm not in drag right now, but the foundation that I'm wearing right now was $42.
Yeah.
They come in a gallon tub?
It is a 1 ounce
bottle.
It's a 1 ounce bottle.
Skylar will buy it. $42. It better come in a gallon tub.
Yeah. I mean, I
got it from Costco. Yes. Thanks for the gallon. But no, drag is not cheap. We've already discussed that. Just from getting your face ready. Oh, gosh. If you don't have a drag mother or someone to guide you through, it can get so expensive. Luckily, my drag mother was... handed me down a lot of her, like, makeup that she never even used before. So I have, like, now a Rolly, like, 3-drawer cart full of makeup that I just have. So I was very lucky in not spending that much money on makeup.
I have spent a forbidden amount of money on makeup.
But I know, like, I'm going to want to spend money on makeup soon. Yeah, like, I'm going to need to get new makeup.
You should buy it all.
Someone else is going to get the full bin of makeup
from
you now.
A hand-me-down.
This was once given to me. I never touched it.
Oh, God.
I never touched it.
Generations. But I started, before I was doing drag, I was doing freelance makeup. So I had a bit of a kit built up, but I did have to buy some more drag-friendly products. I still use a liquid foundation because I'm fishy. So
should we go into talking about these terms? Because we've been saying words like camp and fish. And
okay,
like...
well, camp is not a gay term, but straight people don't know what camp is.
Exactly.
If you've seen anything from the
no
Met Gala.
Clue what fish is about.
I have no
fish,
idea.
It's a contentious word. We're not going to get into the politics of it. You guys can. I'm not. But fishy is another way to say someone looks feminine.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like,
I just
more
thought it was
realistic.
I thought you said liquid, so, like, you know, fish live
like a literal fish.
Oh, I just
live in water.
I just thought you had scales that you were hiding very well. Like, that's what.
Yeah, I mean, I am Aquaman.
I thought you looked like a fish fillet sandwich from McDonald's.
Excuse me, I am the North Pacific cod from Wendy's.
That's what I love.
That's why I love you. So, you said liquid foundation.
Oh yeah. The tried and true drag queen foundation is the Kryolan TV pan stick. I do not want to use that, so I just use girl foundation.
Now, can you explain, like, why is there a specific?
It's built for theater, and theater makeup is very different from beauty makeup. Theater makeup, you exaggerate your features so that when the lights shine on you and it washes your complexion out, they can still see your face.
Oh. Yeah, because there's a huge difference between, like, beauty makeup and drag makeup. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like,
they're two different things.
Yeah. I did not know that.
You have to cake it on more when you're in drag.
Yeah.
Because it will just wash away.
Here, there's a lot of glue sticks used.
Yeah, I usually like to just shave off my eyebrows.
Yeah, you do that. You commit. I don't commit.
I commit to the bit.
I don't use glue sticks because I have bushy eyebrows.
What do you use?
I have, what am I?
Gorilla glue.
Honestly,
Gorilla glue.
Honestly, it's damn near Gorilla glue for my eyebrows.
What do you use? I'm dying to know. Is it a trade secret?
Yes. Hold on. Let me look at my Amazon Prime.
Yes, I use Amazon
the Elmer's glue stick. If I'm not shaving off my eyebrows,
girl, I cannot.
What's that stuff that you use for leaf collections? It's like cement or rubber cement.
Rubber cement.
Is that what it is?
Can you imagine? Using
I have
cement?
A leaf collection. I didn't know that.
Really? Yes. I also have.
I've been pressing leaves.
Just hello.
How the hell did I put this thing together?
I actually made one, but I have no idea how.
I just use Elmer's glue.
I use Prozade.
Oh, okay.
Eyebrows, yeah.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, so Prozade is like
industrial glue.
It's
an FX adhesive.
Oh, okay.
You can also use it to block out your eyebrows. Block just means cover.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. And so moving like up, how about wigs? How much do you spend on wigs?
Honestly, buy cheap wigs.
Cheap wigs.
Amazon.com.
Wish.com. I've had some luck from Wish.
Wait, Wish is a legitimate website?
Hand-me-down wigs.
Well,
yes.
You know, I've never ordered from Wish, but I hear that sometimes you get your packages, and that's good enough for me.
I was going to say, I thought it was
honestly,
like a fake.
You pay $10 for a 24-inch weave?
Yucky.
I just
get Remy.
Every time I'm on Facebook, I see those Wish ads where it's like you scroll through and see the weird like things.
Crack pipes.
Yeah, I want to. It's always like it's always like $1 to $5. One day I'm just gonna buy everything and just see what I get.
One time I just seen it was a Wish picture and it was just a bowl of like white powder. And I'm like, what is this? Ooh, are you selling the bowl? The powder? Like,
are we going to white party?
I always see this mask on there, and it looks like it's just made of nightmares. Like, it looks like it's just made of people's nightmares.
I don't know
what they're selling
it
for $6.
That was my profile, and I'm offended.
Imagine putting that on your face, and that is drag.
Yes. Yes. Except you can't take it off.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. You need Dawn dish soap for that.
Honestly, I wish. Listen,
they use that on the ducks, though.
Like, taking
the oil
off drag makeup is also no joke, guys. Let me tell you something.
No, I'm a bad person, and I literally use Dawn dish soap.
I can't. I have to use oil to remove my makeup. I use
canola.
I use coconut oil.
I use antifreeze.
Talking about them automotive oils right there.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you use 10W30, what you use? That Dexo 10W40.
Seneca.
No, just coconut.
I use canola oil to season my cast iron pans.
Ooh,
nice.
Isn't putting on makeup called seasoning? No, that's beef.
Baking.
Beating.
Baking is what
baking is a process.
Yeah.
Okay. See,
but
it's beef.
You beat your face.
Yeah, you beat your face
with canola oil.
Baking is yes. Please use coconut oil in your makeup, and then just send me pictures.
And then send me
pictures. But baking is. After you've applied all of your cream or liquid face products, you'll take a translucent or a white powder, loose powder, and you'll set the high points of your face, like underneath your eyes, your chin, your nose, and that will accentuate them. It will highlight them.
Hmm.
So in theatrical makeup, that is what makes your high points stand out on your face.
Okay. We should have a region nerd alert. Like video, because we're trying to move
YouTube?
To YouTube.
Can I do your drag makeup?
I was just saying, one of our videos,
your eyebrows
ladies
off.
And gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Josephine Nerd Alert.
Josephine!
Get on up!
By the way, I found the mask of nightmares.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Why does that look like me
at
3 a.m.
at
Chipotle?
Your drag aesthetic, girl.
I know, honestly.
Pretty scary.
Nightmare Before Elm Street.
Let's get back to Josephine Nerd Alert because
Josephine
I love
Nerd
her
Alert.
Let's talk about her.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
see.
I hate her.
She's every high
just
school.
She was just born. I hate her.
She's every high school's Tina Belcher.
Oh no,
Josephine Nerdler.
I don't associate with children.
Well, speaking of drag names, did we talk about how you guys got yours?
Let's talk about that fantastic discovery, Michael.
Yes.
Let's talk about your names.
Wonderful.
All right, I guess I'm gonna go first.
Now, names.
Who got them? Who needs them?
We got a generator here.
Yeah, we got names.
So we're going to start with Ivana Fluck. Ivana Fluck with an L. I just want to make that abundantly clear to NPR
listeners.
Don't
forget the L.
Ivana, you should have just said with a K. Fluck.
Fluck with a K.
Yeah.
With a K.
Fluck with a U. Get with it, people.
All right, so how'd you get that name?
So no, okay, so listen. That was not my first choice in drag names. So
was it forced upon you?
No, actually I was driving to work one day and I was listening to the radio and they were talking about really weird names and someone called in and they said that she married a man with the last name of Fluck. And
so it is
the story,
a real name.
The Fluck is a real last name. Hi, Fluck family. Thank you. So she was telling the listeners that how her father-in-law was going to name his child Ivana if his child was a girl, but he ended up being a boy, so he went with like Bob or something very, very white.
Ivano.
Bob or something.
It's not a girl. Bob.
Bob.
We're done with it.
When but someone asked me names,
no,
she said,
that.
She said Ivana Fluck, and I was like, that's it. That's my drag name.
I found my calling.
I found my calling.
If you don't mind me asking, what was before that? If
before that,
if it's clean.
No, redacted. It's totally fine. Redacted. no. no, before that, my name was Honeypot.
Which I love.
That's cute. That's cute. I love that one.
I know, but it just wasn't
like your new name, too.
I know it's
you
not
had,
my
you name. Had one other one. It never seen the light of day.
Oh,
there,
no.
I was there during the original
discussion.
Oh,
you
discussion.
Were there during the OG discussion?
The OG discussion.
Ooh.
I was there.
So before I even performed or even put drag on my face for the first time, my name was going to be Baklava Sunday because I'm sweet and full of nuts. So
I have to leave.
Ivana, can I please tell you the tie-in? Okay, Friday nights, game night, high school football.
Yes.
Chef Nick.
You've already lost me.
Always caters here. And everyone goes crazy over the baklava.
Yes.
Sick.
And I just wanted to say that because that was one of the names. And well, that might be my name.
I'll brainstorm some for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. But yeah, girl, now it's your turn. Spill the tea, sis.
Spill the tea. I forgot what the question was.
About your name, girl.
Oh, about my name. Okay, so my name is Anita Ride Home because I do not drive.
Literally.
I was waiting for that because I don't own a car.
I actually, okay, so when I got that name, which me and my best friend Austin brainstormed, on the train on the way to Chicago because I had a gig that I was doing and I was like, oh God, I need a name. So we were like, quick, think of something.
On the way to the gig?
Not on the way to the gig, but it was like a couple days before the gig.
Okay.
I was like, oh, the name. I thought for a second you were going to say your friend's name was Austin Brainstorm. I was about to be like,
Austin
that is
Brainstorm?
The coolest name ever.
That is, that's his new name.
On the stage.
That is the coolest name ever.
Follow Austin at Austin Illustrates. But
nice point.
Yes. I'm a businesswoman. Do you guys have any business lady specials?
Got the yellow pages? Because I want to give someone the business.
Ew. But where was I going with that?
Girl, your name.
My name?
What was that?
That was my cellular telephone.
Oh, okay. I thought something broke. I get no spatial things in my headphones, so I'm like looking everywhere.
All right.
Anyway, okay, continue. I'm sorry.
My ADHD hates this. I have no idea what we're talking about.
So your name and how did it come up?
Yes, my name. What's in a name? But yeah, so when I started doing drag, didn't have a license, didn't have a car. Because, you know, life be like that sometimes.
Oh, right.
As of now, I do have a car and a license, but I'm keeping the name
still
because it's
drive.
Funny.
I'm looking for a car.
But I still drove you here, and that's the real tea.
My car is out of commission. But I have one.
All right. Yeah. So that's how the name came up?
Yeah. It was just some real stuff.
You needed a ride? Need a ride.
Needed a ride here, needed a ride there.
Names don't always have to be like deep. Ironic or ironic, right. Funny.
You could just be like
Jessica or like, I don't know.
My name is Barbara Stevens.
And that's my drag persona.
You could work that.
I would die before like anything. Barbara
you
Stevens.
You could only do Christian rock though.
That's the best rock.
But
straight Creed on there.
Oh, Creed.
God's not dead, he's surely alive.
Honestly, I would love that performance. I would
maybe
tip the crap out of you.
Maybe I'll work that into something. Nice denim frock.
Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, or C2E2, is one of the country's biggest nerd conventions, where fans, cosplayers, and movie stars gather for 3 days to bring you the latest on everything pop culture. With all the big events and speakers, there is also a multitude of vendors selling their wares and conducting business like the street markets of ancient lands and kingdoms. I got to take some time with one of my favorite shops there and ask the ins and outs of being a vendor at a convention.
I'm Daniel, this is my wife, Pasita.
Yes, sir.
And we are Tea and Absinthe. Easiest way to reach us is from our website, teaandabsinthe.com, all spelled out.
And you guys are based out of?
Outside Boston. We don't have a brick and mortar store, just online and pop up at shows all over the country.
Oh, wow. So so you guys are just a strictly online store. How does the crowd interact with your product versus online, like a review and through messaging and stuff like that?
Well, since our primary product is loose leaf tea, it's a lot easier for people to actually interact with the product, you know, smell it in person as opposed to through the internet. You know, we're still working on our scratch and sniff web interface.
Oh, right.
It's kind of hard to smell through the internet, so we invite everyone to come to see us at cons.
Awesome. So do you have a con after C2E2 here?
Yeah, we're going to Seattle for Emerald City Comic Con. If you check our website, we have like a whole tour. We do Dragon Con down in Atlanta. We do New York Comic Con. We do cons in Orlando, like all over the country.
That's amazing. And what about C2E2 is your favorite? Not necessarily saying C2E2 is your favorite con, but like what's your favorite part about C2E2?
Well, one of the best things about our kind of business where we travel the country is we get to visit all the different cities. And Chicago is one of our favorite places, the Chicago Art Institute, the food, the other museums in town. And because there's so much culture here, the people who come to the show are just fabulous.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. I really love the people here, especially all the fans. They really take time to put into their cosplays and stuff. I love seeing all the fans.
Awesome. And by the way, I love your Slytherin. It looks like a steampunk Slytherin almost.
It's like my dapper, 1940s Slytherin outfit.
That's awesome. I recently found out I am a Slytherin too, so I've embraced it with the green hat.
Love it.
Green's my color for 2020. I guess for someone who's never heard of you guys, what are you guys about? Plug your stuff.
We do fandom tea, so tea that's inspired by all the different fandoms, specifically the fandoms that we personally are passionate about. So we have like a Harry Potter themed tea with all the houses, Doctor Who themed tea. That was our first because we're big Whovians. We've been watching it forever.
That's awesome.
And then we were like, oh, you know what? This tea reminds me of the doctor, and this tea reminds me of that doctor. And so that's how it started with us. So we created like these different tea blends that are kind of like themed on different doctors and different characters and things like that.
That's awesome. I also see you had a Princess Peach, which it from here did very well. It sold out. And then I see also the Crystal Gems, which he was telling me earlier. I missed your guys' cosplay yesterday.
Oh, we love Steven Universe. he does an awesome Rainbow Quartz cosplay.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. So with something like the Princess Peach, like obviously, like there's going to be some peach infused with that tea. Mm-hmm. What else goes into a tea other than like, oh, we're just going to like shave peaches or
Well, when we're creating a tea, we have to think about well, you know, what is it that attracts the fandom to that thing? So for example, with the Slytherin tea, yeah, my wife's house, for that the idea was we wanted something that was cool and collected and ambitious. So we went with a Moroccan mint for that. Yeah, so we have the cool from the mint, the green tea for the Slytherin. And the tea base that we used was a gunpowder green tea.
Oh.
Which doesn't actually taste smoky. It's just the way the leaves are rolled up. But it's kind of exquisite and a little bit exclusive and give very high class. And we thought it would all works well with the theme. So it's we have to approach it from a lot of different angles. And then, you know, it also has to be delicious.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I love actually my husband's tea, which is a Hufflepuff tea, because it smells like gingerbread cookies. And because, you know, the Hufflepuff's common room was near the kitchen. So, of course, they're going to be wanting cookies all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you guys put, like, a ton of thought into this.
We actually,
like, that's amazing.
Debate or argue. like, have long discussions about different characters and what they feel like and what they mean.
Like, what they embody.
What they embody. It's like, we sometimes take a really, really long time to bring a tea out because we want it to be accurate to the feel of the character
and the show. So our newest tea is The Road So Far. It's our supernatural themed tea. And you know, it's 14 seasons in and we finally just released it.
Oh, that's amazing. Like, I bet there's a lot of loyalty and brotherhood in that tea.
Oh yeah. So what we ended up going with was a raspberry maple black tea. I'm sorry, blackberry maple black tea with some earthy undertones that are almost like a nice worn leather jacket.
Oh, okay. A lot of leather and plaid.
but you also get the you know, the pancakes and pie.
Oh.
My fandom, I love. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules, because running a con, I'm sure you're 24/7. Like, of course, sleep is involved too. Like, hopefully, but yeah, I want to thank you guys again. If you want to say your names one more time and then plug where we can find you.
Oh, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Casita from Tea and Absinthe.
If you want your own special tea from your favorite character or fandom, you can go to teaandabsinthe.com/geekytea. Also, catch Region Nerd Alert every Saturday at 7 p.m. right here on 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio or online at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the NPR One app. I'm Jose Rodriguez from Lakeshore Public Radio. And we have Mr. Brian Grabinski here. Answer our questions. So just a little, have you ever seen the the podcast Nardwar by chance?
No.
Oh, well, he like really digs in deep. I'm not going to do that. Like, so you see, and when you were 6 years old, blah, blah, blah. But I did read a little bit.
Sure.
And you said that you've been attending cons for over 30 years.
Yep.
And just what made you finally, I guess, hey, I'm going to make a con myself.
All right. Well, I've lived in Northwest Indiana for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we moved here, I said to myself, man, I either have to go to Chicago or I have to go to Indianapolis to go to a con.
That's true.
You know, so I'm like, why can't we have a con right here in, like, Northwest Indiana, you know, in the region?
Mm-hmm.
And as I started planning it, over the years, I had made so many friends in the comic book industry just from attending for so long. You know, I made friends with artists and dealers and cosplayers. So when I started my pre-planning, I was like, you know, what can we do that's different than other conventions? And I thought to myself, well, what if we made a family-friendly, affordable convention in Northwest Indiana?
So
and then it just kind of snowballed from there, man. That was like my vision. And I started planning it out, you know, and I started contacting people and I said, hey, if I threw a comic convention in Northwest Indiana, you know, would you be part of it? And, you know, first people were like, I thought there was just corn in Indiana. I'm like, no, man, we're going to bring comics and corn.
It's right in the middle of the corn.
Comics and corn, the two C's of Indiana.
The two C's, comics and corn.
Can't have comics without corn.
Well, I would like to, first and foremost, thank you for that.
I appreciate it.
That is the utmost truth. Like, there's, in my opinion, there's a lack of cons. Because, like, C2E2 happens, like, what, in the springtime?
No, it's now.
Not even then.
They want to move it to, like.
They actually did move it to February.
They want it to be winter. Yeah.
So next month? Wow.
Yeah. So it's end of next month, beginning of March.
I am unprepared.
28th, 1st, and 2nd is C2E2. And they've said they want it.
You forgot the 29th.
I don't whatever, leap year, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not going to say any names or anything, but I know someone that had to move their date because of C2E2 coming to the area.
It's just, I liked it in the spring, and now it's going to be really hard to get shoots outdoors because it's cold.
Mr. Last to Know Everything, I thought it was still in the spring. Thanks for telling me. I have a lot of planning to do.
So here's the crazy thing. So Northwest Indiana Comic-Con, we're coming up on our 7th annual show.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I picked February is because there were so many other cons.
Right.
And not only, number one, did I not want to compete with them, but a lot of my artists and dealer friends were attending these other cons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I picked February to have a date where there wasn't a lot of cons going on. And now, all of a sudden, 7 years later, there's so many freaking shows in February.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Come on, you're taking my month. What's going on
this
here?
Is my month.
I was like, I thought it was perfect too. Like, attending your con, and then, that was awesome.
That's the thing, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists will say, when they post about the NWI Comic Con, they'll say, this is my first show of the year. Come see me, my first show of the year, you know. Yeah. And I've always been proud of that, you know?
Right.
Now I got competition, man.
Well, I felt like, having attended, I think, the past 2 years to your convention, I say it's pretty popular.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I go, it's a line. Everyone's raring to go in.
So many people.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many people. That's also my birthday con.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's my birthday con.
Awesome.
Like, what day was it on last year? It was the 22nd?
Or the 23rd, maybe.
It was the 22nd. Mine's the 24th. My birthday is the 24th. Okay. So I'm like, cool. It's my birthday thing. Go to a burlesque show before or after that. Go to this. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great birthday.
I was with you for all that, too. That was a crazy night.
It was such a good...
That's when I spent like...
Such a good birthday.
$80.
Oh, yeah.
It was a $15 burlesque show. I spent $80.
Yeah, it was expensive. But, Northwest Indiana Comic Con is like my birthday con. I love it.
It's awesome. I love it because it's right down the street from me, too. Like, I literally live on 73rd. Like, all I got to do is hop, skip, and jump. I can walk there if it was warm.
That's awesome.
Actually, I just got a nice coat.
If our weather keeps going like this, might be able to buy some now this year.
Just to mention, it's at the Halls of St. George, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And then that's in technically Schererville, right?
That's correct.
Okay. I don't know if we have the exact... 905 East Joliet Street, Schererville, Indiana, the Halls of St. George.
Okay. Yep, that's right, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, this is, judging from the last 2 years... extremely fun convention. Like, mm-hmm. I think our friend Tanya Riveron, last name her here. She's an artist, and she was actually featured in your con as well.
That's awesome.
The first getting her feet wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was her first con, getting her feet wet. And I love, too, because it's like, it's very homey. Like, I feel like it's my convention, like being from Northwest Indiana. Like, oh, yeah, we have a convention. Like, it's right here. And mm-hmm. people are surprised when I tell them, like, when they come in from other places, even from Bloomington, Indiana. Mm-hmm. I had a friend come in, and he's like, you guys have a convention here? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, oh, is it like a small thing? Like, no.
There's lines around the corner.
There's lines everywhere.
Yeah. And a lot of people are surprised, but pleasantly surprised. Like,
mm-hmm.
you get some good people.
I told my coworkers about it last year. Like, when I was like, yeah, I'm leaving early for to go to a con. They're like, oh, you're going to Chicago? No, there's one like in Schererville. It's like,
yeah.
It's like 10 minutes off. Awesome.
But so you say you've been a convention goer for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
Any favorite notable conventions that inspired you?
C2E2 has been one of my favorites for a very long time now. There was a smaller show in Orland Park, Illinois. It was called DanCon. And it was a pretty cool show. It was like, I won't say it inspired me, but it kind of ignited that fire inside me, you know, like, man, you know, if Dan can do a con.
Also, it's not like it's not like in Dan, Illinois. Like it's, the guy's name is Dan.
Yeah, it's actually a con only of Dan's.
Only Dan's.
Oh yeah, you have to, your name has to be Dan.
Yeah, to exhibit it's like a Citadel of Dan's.
Yeah, like you can go in there as any person, but to exhibit, you have to be called Dan.
So what made you not go with Brian Con?
Yeah, it just didn't work for me.
Roll off the con, the tongue as well. So you feature cosplays too. Like I was looking at your website and I seen someone do I forgot the most recent person you feature. I forgot her name. But anyways, you feature cosplayers as well. How do you get in touch with them, or is it more of like they get in touch with you process?
It's a little bit of both. Okay. We've built, you know, a nice reputation. Not only in Northwest Indiana region, but also in Chicago and Michigan and areas like that. So when we start putting feelers out there, we'll have people contact and say, you know, I'd like to be a judge, or I'd like to find out more about your con. I'd like to know about your cosplay competition, like what can and cannot bring, you know, things like that. So it's a little bit of both.
And then.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. What can you and can you not bring to the cosplay competition? Because I may or may not be entering this
year. You should enter.
I don't know. We'll see if we can get anything done.
Yeah, no, we're a family-friendly convention, so we kind of shy away from scantily dressed.
Oh, that makes sense,
you know? And it's also February, so you mean you don't really want to come out in a bikini.
No, nobody does.
And, you know, we're pretty open on cosplay items except for weapons. No actual weapons, no real weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Foam weapons are okay. Fake toy guns are okay. No real weapons.
Okay. So no, right.
So no AR-15s on the stage.
Maybe off the air, I'll tell you guys
some of the stuff. Oh, boy. No battle axes. Oh, man. But I guess going on, what's the craziest weapon you are allowed to say on air?
You know, we can say bazooka, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was.
We actually had an RPG episode last time.
It was decommissioned, so I gave the guy props.
Oh,
okay. I mean, yeah.
Bazooka, my God.
So,
bazooka. I'm not okay.
Real quick, going off the family friendly thing, I do like the family friendly aspect of it because you see a lot of cons that are like C2E2, for example, they have Fridays, which is like, you know, people getting in, you know, getting their, you know, getting everything together. Saturday's mainly for cosplay, and Sunday is the family.
Yeah.
Like, the family day for it. You see all the little kids walking around. But Northwest Indiana Comic Con or NWI Con, it's like, it is 100% family. I see kids, that place is flooded with kids, and they're all cosplayed, and it's adorable.
Yeah, I see their eyes.
I see
are,
a little Thor, and all their eyes like, are bright. That's the best thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so much fun. You know, I mean, I had a tagline a while back. It was, no matter if you're 6 or 60, you'll have a good time at the NWI Comic Con.
That
because,
is true.
Because, you know, it's so much fun.
Yeah, last year you guys had like a leather-bound exhibitor there. And that was my mother's first convention.
Oh, nice.
And she was like kind of scared. Yeah. Like, I've never been to a convention. Like, how's it going to be? Like, elbow to elbow. And I'm like, Mom, it's just a convention. It's right down the street. Like, you'll have a good time. And when she seen that. I think he does eyeballs and like leather books.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Just to clarify, when he says leather bound, we're talking like Dungeons and Dragons, like dice bags.
Oh, right.
And
I was about to be like, we need to clarify this real quick.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, not like, oh my gosh. No.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay.
I'm not, yeah, my mother was, yeah, okay.
Gosh. What was it? My mom is actually, my mom and, her ex are actually the reason I go to conventions now.
Really? Because
we started off at Wizard World and then moved to C2E2, and then it just kind of went from there. She stopped going after a while, and she doesn't really want to do C2E2 because, you know, it's a lot. It's, you know, a huge place, ton of people.
It's a dedication.
I took her last year to NWI Con,
She had a blast.
That's
she loved
awesome.
It.
You guys are going to make me cry. You're bringing your mom's
Comic-Con. We had to bring my mom
so
this year.
Awesome.
All right, now it's my goal to bring my mom this
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
Hear that, Mom?
There was somebody selling, they had like old school 50s, like movie monster, like memorabilia and stuff like that. She went nuts.
That's awesome.
She went nuts. She loves that stuff.
Yeah. I love these feel-good story guys.
Yeah, my mom loves that stuff, too. Because when I'd bring home stuff from, like, my anime conventions, and I buy some pretty wild stuff, like, you know, so she's thinking, like, what are they selling these things? But she went there, and, like, just everyone was so welcoming, and she's like, I love, like, little knickknacks, and you will find knickknacks, paddywhacks, all of them.
Yeah.
A dog that maybe has a bone?
Well, sorry, no dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, there's no pet paws.
Pouring out for the dogs.
Oh, man.
So, I want to ask, like sponsorships.
Sure.
Speaking of Tazo Tea, they are not a sponsor. but also our station is also listed on here.
Yep,
go Lakeshore correct. Public Radio, woo woo. But also I see Viz Media. And being an avid anime weeb, otaku, whatever you want to call me, I thought that was super cool. How did that fall into place?
Sure. So every year, you know, I reach out to different companies. Last year, some of our big sponsors were like Dark Horse and GameStop. So as a convention showrunner, not only do I promote it, but I do a lot behind the scenes.
Right.
And one of the things I do is contacting sponsors, you know. So we also have a souvenir booklet where we have advertisements and the sponsors, of course, in there. So I reach out to them and I tell them, you know, I'm throwing this convention in Northwest Indiana. And I say, you know, would you like to be a part of it? And then we get into conversations and we decide if money's going to be exchanged hands or if we're going to barter sponsorship for items, for donated items.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case with Viz, they sent me about 40 boxes of various manga titles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So these are going to be items that will go in the giveaway bags. And
that's
so we
awesome.
We usually have about 3,000 attendees, but the first 1,000 people will always get a giveaway bag at the NWI Comic Con.
That is
I
awesome.
I will be there.
Yeah, will you?
Be there early for your swag
we'll be
bag.
Be there like at 1 a.m. in the morning, early. Just like outside the door, like, let me in.
Actually, I think Lakeshore has a couple tables set up.
They do.
There, so yeah. I will probably be there super
you will.
Early.
You will be tabling, so maybe you'll get a swag.
Ooh. I got goosebumps. I'm really excited. No, I love getting things.
D&D. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's just like I got into it really recently, much thanks to Critical Role and like all these podcasts and stuff. And I really like the storytelling feature. I had my first game with like some friends from college. We did over Discord, which is like wonderful because I can just lay in my room, like in pajamas, eating some food, just having a blast with my friends. And we actually finished the game. We completed it. We actually ended it with a really interesting ending. I really liked it.
I don't think I've ever ended a game of D&D.
Yeah.
The first game of D&D I ever played perfect. Ended.
Yeah, I know, right? It's hard to end them because you just want to keep going.
Rest
just keep going and going.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we ended it, like, we had a definite ending because we wanted to go into Masks, which is a superhero D&D game. Mm-hmm. We just haven't we haven't etched out a time yet for everybody because a lot of, like, moving happened between all of us.
So, Jason, you make a lot of stories, and you said you were usually the DM. So you don't need books for D&D. Now, I'm also a D&D, like, beginner, so.
You do.
You do need books. Okay, I am.
In my head, it's like, you know, if you're stranded on a desert island with a pencil and paper, you could make, some form of D&D.
Yeah,
But yeah, if you have a player's guide, a Dungeon Master's guide helps, but the 5e player's guide is really good. And you know, it's you're going to get a lot of hours of entertainment for the money. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, I was away last week from my D&D group, and they performed a heist with no planning whatsoever. And hearing the stories, maybe. they planned this heist with no planning, no talking to each other, just impromptu heist. And then halfway through the heist, they ran into some guards, and while the guards were there, they were just planning it all out with the guards. I'm just like, I'm really glad I wasn't there that week.
Yeah, that sounds pretty stressful.
Yeah.
So, Heather, were you the DM for that, or
no? I'm trying to learn to DM, but through like slow process of just like researching, like how to take notes, how to prep, watching a lot of like YouTube videos, and like just researching to research how to research to be a DM.
Okay.
And that'll probably just be one shots for a little bit before I get comfy with it.
So, Jason, would you call yourself like a seasoned DM?
Yeah, in the sense that I'm comfortable with it, not in the sense that, you know, I could list every rule or anything like that.
What's the hardest call you've ever made as a DM?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah, okay. I actually have a serious story for that.
Ready for this story.
I'm not going to name any names, but it was, I do a public game every year at Anime North, and I think I've done five of them now. So the whole hook is that it's all night D&D. So we play from 9 p.m. to like 6 a.m. In front of an audience. So it's like an exhibition game. So like, you know, all the people at this con that want to stay up all night, you know, come and watch this D&D game. And, you know, it's silly. You know, it's a funny one-off. And I usually try and stack the players with, like, professionally funny people if I can. I don't know. My one friend, you know, he had done it a few years. And, you know, I invited him out again. Let's call him Chad. And Chad. So, you know, Chad was out for D&D. So the problem with running an exhibition game is that, for once, you're not worrying about the fun of the players. So if you're playing a private game, you know, the measure of if it's good is if the players are having fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with a public game, you know, okay, the audience members need to have fun. Mm-hmm. So that was my primary goal that night. So Chad just had this tactic. He had like some kind of trick planned where his character was basically playing dead for some reason. So every time I got to him, he's just like, my character does nothing. I'm like, okay. And I go to him again. He's like, my character does nothing. He lies there. I'm like, okay. So eventually I like, you know, just on the spot, I came up with this. And, you know, it's always a good idea to have audience participation for this type of thing. So I basically had, I recruited an audience member to come up and help my friend Chad with, you know, his turn. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, you be in charge of the character for a while. And so this is the only time I've ever had anything like this. You know, at the break, that player left in a public game. And so that sucked. So I didn't realize how mad he was because I was facing forward towards the audience, and I was just kind of keeping the story going, keeping the beats going. Anyway, so we didn't talk for a couple months, but then we patched up.
That was a serious story. I thought he had some sort of plan for playing dead.
I guess he didn't get to do it or something. Because I talked to another friend after who was, you know, the way he was sitting at the table was looking directly at this player. And he's like, oh, yeah, I could see it on his face. And it was like, all right, well, that was kind of different for me because it was like, you know, I was facing the audience. And that's what I was worried about. And, you know, it makes sense that that happened because, you know, usually I am focused on the fun of the players. But that specific type of game that I do once a year, you know, that's kind of like a secondary thing. So,
So,
we came back in after the break. I patched up. We finished the game. Everything was fine. But, you know, yeah, it sucked that that happened. But, you know, I know why it did. And, yeah, we're friends again and everything's fine. So yeah.
Sometimes, little quarrels happen, you know, within friend groups, but patch it up. And
you just got to get some Flex Seal, dog.
Some Flex Seal.
Yeah, just Flex Seal it.
Flex tape.
Oh, my goodness. Jason, do you know about Flex Seal?
No, what's Flex Seal?
Oh, it's a huge meme. It's just this ridiculous, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just this product. It's like an As Seen on TV thing. And it's okay. like black goop you spray on stuff and it, like, instantly seals everything that you ever have.
You got a hole in a boat, Flex Seal. If you got a hole in something, a roof. Yeah, it's
got a broken friendship from D&D.
Yeah.
Seal it right up.
There you go.
Flex Seal it right up.
So right now.